Paul yesterday introduced me by saying that I've been challenging him to stop reading other books and read the Bible. Books written by men about what the Bible says can be an enlightening experience, so don't get me wrong. However, books written by men about the Bible or about what the Bible says can be a very dangerous experience. And there are times when you need books other than the Bible to prove a particular point. Yesterday was a good example. Jeff used the books he had yesterday, and one in particular, which brought out the sheer stupidity of evolution. And I have no problem with a book like that. Science does, in fact, prove the Bible correct, and his presentation was not only entertaining, but it was also quite enlightening. And I appreciated it, Jeff. Turn over to Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2. Where I have a problem with reading other books, with reading books other than the Bible, I should say, for your doctrine is this. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, and neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You don't add to or take away from God's word so that you will keep the commandments of God. If you start reading other books out there first, if you start that first, you run the risk of being deceived and not keeping God's commandments. Here are a couple things to think about. What is the background of the person you're about to read? Is the person a member of the body of Christ? Does that person have God's Holy Spirit? Does he have the gift of a teacher, the teacher gift? What is his agenda? And is he results-oriented or is he truth-oriented? The other day I was having a conversation with Leo and he asked me what that meant. A person who is results-oriented tries to prove his position. Let me read it so I don't flub this up. And, his mind is made up, and he looks for the verses of Scripture to prove his position. He fits his position from the Bible. If you're truth-oriented, you're looking at each and every point about a specific subject and adjusting the way you look at the Bible to fit what the book says. All right? That's results-oriented or truth-oriented. And there are a lot of people out there that are not truth-oriented, and some of us in here have a little bit of a problem with that because you have a specific agenda. All right? You think one way, but the Bible doesn't say that, but you go looking for specific points. Passover comes to mind. I believe that because of the problems we have in understanding Passover, there is not unity in how we see that. And that's not an attack on anybody. That's just one particular example. And there are others. Back in August of 2005, I started a study. And I kept hearing all the time, y'all was here, and I'm sure y'all heard as well, the one that goes, I'm a New Testament Christian. You generally hear that when you turn into TBN or the Sunday keeping churches on the radio. I'm a New Testament Christian, chapter and verse. Some of the questions to such a statement might be something that you could put back in at somebody is there a difference? Is that different from being an Old Testament Christian? What does it mean to be a New Testament Christian? And is there a different method of salvation for those in the Old Testament? Another one that gets me going is the Bible that you see. Sometimes you go to a bookstore and you see the Bible in New Testament version only. It starts from Matthew and goes to Revelation, and it completely leaves out the older writings from Genesis to Malachi. Now, I'm not saying that you can't own one. I noticed Jeff had one of the Jewish New Testaments with him yesterday. I'm not talking about us having one of those. Rather, I'm talking about those people who give out the New Testament and not the complete Bible in an effort to evangelize. They only hand out the New Testament. And I believe that these are some of Satan's biggest helpers. I heard a Sunday preacher on the airwaves recently say that the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. Absolutely wrong. You will never, ever find an Old Testament writer reference a scripture from the New Testament. However, you will find every New Testament writer cite a scripture from the Old Testament. So it is the Old Testament that interprets the New Testament. When I started this study, I had no idea how time-consuming it was going to be and how in-depth it would be. I've been working on and off for over a year, and sometimes I get bogged down, and I've got three or four other different studies that I'm doing. So I started, Amy helps me, we come back to it, and it's been over a year now, and I imagine that I'll be working on it for well over another year, and probably a lot longer, because frankly, I see no end in sight for the study. Let me explain. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean when I talk about the old and the new. Turn to Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Where do you get that? How do you know that's true? Why is Matthew putting this in here? You get that from Genesis 25:19, and I'm not going to have you bounce around. We don't. I don't have enough time to go on all the different verses, but I'll cite them, and you can write them down. If you want to look them up later, that's fine. Genesis 25:19 says these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's sons. Abraham begat Isaac, and also 1 Chronicles 1:34 says Abraham begat Isaac. And it's cited in two different places in the New Testament, or the newer writings. When I say New Testament, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the newer writings, all right? Don't come up afterwards, because I understand that, all right? Matthew 1:2 says Abraham begat Isaac. Acts 7:8 says that Abraham begat Isaac, all right? They're referencing something out of the old. That's one. Isaac's the same way. Also, Isaac begat Jacob. That's also in 1 Chronicles 34. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. You find that all in Genesis 35:22-26. I have a pretty neat little program. It's the old quick verse for Windows that I bought back in 1995. And I still use it today because, frankly, it's simple. And it's not a resource hog. I love eSword, but eSource is such a resource hog that if you got an old bike, I got a 32 meg laptop. And James is going to laugh. He's going to fall out of his chair laughing back there. This is 32 megs. Nowadays, they're 512 megs. So I need something old and simple, and that's what I use. And that's not my phone, I'm pretty sure. Let's skip over. Well, let me make one point. Without the Old Testament, you have no idea of the lineage of Jesus Christ. You don't know who he is. All right? Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true unless it's from the Bible. And without the Old Testament, if you just have that New Testament, you can't understand where Jesus came from. Turn over to Matthew 19:16. Matthew 19:16. In the study that I've been doing, there are direct references, there are indirect references, there are direct quotes, and I'm going to get into a couple of those right here now. Verse 16 says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why call you me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." Jesus right here quotes Psalms 14:1-3 and Psalms 53:1-3. The specific phrase that I'm leaning for here is, let me just read the first sentence of Psalms 14:1. It says, Psalm of David, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good." That's what Jesus is quoting. That comes directly from from the older writings. And also he says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. We know that that comes out of the Old Testament too, older writings. Verse 18. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, you shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Comes right out of Exodus 20 and also Deuteronomy 5. And then the one for you shall love your neighbor as yourself comes out of Leviticus 19:18. There's nothing new about the New Testament. It comes right out of the old writings. All right. Turn over to Matthew 26, 3, verse, 3 and 4. Matthew 26, 3 and 4. Without the Old Testament, we have no idea who Jesus is. We don't know about his lineage. Without the writings of the Old, you don't have any idea about the commandments. And also, there's some other stuff. 26, let me look up real quick here. Verse 3, it says, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Now this is a prophecy that comes right, this is a direct reference, it's a direct reference to a prophecy that comes out of Psalms 41:7, which says, all that hate me whisper together against me do they devise my hurt. Now, I'm going to continue on in Matthew 26, and I'm going to show you some others. Keep going to Matthew 26, 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. I started this project by going to all the verses. I just looked up, it is written, and I started going down the list of them. And then it was written. And then it says, or it saith. And I haven't even begun to get finished. But right here it says, it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Comes right out of Zechariah 13:7. Matthew 26:45. This is a direct reference. It says, then comes he to his disciples and says unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Job 16:11. It says this, God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Some say, and I'm not a scholar, I have no idea, that this is the oldest Job, the oldest book in the Bible. And yet, it's all the way back then talking about Jesus. Skip on down to verse 49. Here's an indirect reference. It says, and forthwith he came, talking about Judas Iscariot, to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The next verse. Here's a direct reference. And this is specific to him. It says, and Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore are you come? That comes from Psalms 41:9, which says, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. I think you guys probably got the point. You can go through your whole entire New Testament and you will find verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. It has stunned me how much that this has. I knew that there was a lot. I didn't know how much. Until you guys take a look at this for yourself, you probably won't either. Without going to the Old, you don't have any idea of the lineage of Jesus. You don't know about the commandments. You don't know about any of the prophecies that are fulfilled or yet to be fulfilled about Jesus. There are whole chapters of the New Testament that are directly from the Old Testament. If you do away with the Old Testament, then you have to take out Acts 7 out of your New Testament, because that's when Stephen was on trial and he gives a defense, and all he does is quote the Old Testament history of Israel. Same thing with Hebrews 11. The writer of Hebrews 11 goes through and he lists all the people in the faith, what we call the faith chapter, and he lists all of these people right down the list from the very beginning, Abel, all the way down, and it's nothing but a history of the Old Testament. It's kind of fun to look at. There, I haven't even begun to finish that chapter. There's so much in there that it'll probably take me a couple of weeks just to finish putting all the references together. Without the Old Testament, you do not know who Satan is. You don't know who Jesus really was, is, or is to come. You don't know what prophecies, like I said earlier, have been fulfilled and what are yet to be fulfilled. You know nothing about creation and how we got here. You know nothing about the Sabbath and the other commandments or any of God's laws, because God's laws are contained in the Old. So why am I doing this study? I eventually want to show just how much of the New Testament is really a citation of the Old. And I intend eventually to have either a rough or an exact percentage of the Old in the New. Okay, is it 5%? Is it 25%? I have no idea yet. But here are a couple of facts relating to this study so far. Currently, I have more than 1,000 verses notated in the New Testament. And some of those verses have multiple citations from the Old. I have references in every New Testament book except 2 and 3 John, I should say. And that's not to say they don't have any, it's just that I haven't been in those books yet to find them out. I'm sure there are. And what's interesting to me is, and I've yet to figure this one out, there are some citations that I have no reference for. And there's more than one. There's a couple in there that... I'll give you an example. James 4:5 says, "Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy?" I've yet to find, and your little Southern references in all your Bibles, and I've got like 4 or 5 that I different use because they all have different center references. I have yet to find anyone, and I've done searches using my laptop, and I've yet to find the reference that goes to that one. Like I said, there's others, which I find very intriguing. It almost makes me think that either the translations have been so askew or something has been redacted in some way. And I don't know which, and it really doesn't matter, but I'm just intrigued by it. One more thing before I get out of here. Mark on Sabbath was talking about the study he's been doing, and I've kind of followed along with that study, about the Torah reading and how Jesus was living it out, living the Torah out in front of the people while he was walking this earth. He was the living, breathing Word of God. And I locked in on that when we first had that email conversation on the forum, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. I found it very intriguing, and what's interesting about this study is it's bearing fruit for what he's trying to show, that there's a timeline of sequences, and you see certain things that Jesus did or was written, it has been written, and it specifically comes out of either the Haftorah or the Torah. And so I want to encourage you to maybe all get on board with Mark on that study, because there's a lot of, I think that has a lot of legs. Brethren, I want to encourage you to read your entire Bible, and don't get locked into one section and neglect the rest. There are nuggets in there that we still haven't ferreted out. I would dissuade you from going and reading other books, because frankly, you don't have enough time to do it all. You don't have enough time to read your Bible and all of the other books that are out there. You got enough problems trying to figure out what the Bible says and get the truth out of it. And finally, Amy and I, we both had a great time being here and seeing you all and spending the time with you. And we hope to see you in years to come. As usual, this feast has gone too fast, like it always does. We hope to see you all down the road. We hope you have safe trips home and to your homes, and that God will bless you all this next year. And we just want to say we love you and hope to see you again. Thank you.